Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of the Playoff Push Podcast. This is your NFL recap for week 8 of the 2024-2025 NFL season. A very interesting week at that, which you'll see in the games. And we will be debuting a different fantasy segment rather than reading off the top performers. We'll be switching it up for now and the future. Let's lead off with the first game, however, which was Thursday Night Football. Vikings and Rams. Now, this was the first game back for wide receivers Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua of the Rams, two of the best receivers in the league, and they proved it in this one. Nacua, 7 catches, 106 yards. Kupp, 5 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown. Two touchdowns were caught by DeMarcus Robinson, another by Kyren Williams. So 4 touchdowns through the air, none on the ground for this Rams offense. However, Kyren Williams also had 97 yards on the ground. Stafford put together a nice stat line, 25 for 34, 279 yards, 4 touchdowns to only one interception, enough to edge out a 30-20 victory over the once 5-0 Vikings, now down to 5-2. Sam Darnold didn't put together a bad game either, 18 for 25 for 240 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. But the rushing game never got anything going. Aaron Jones, 19 carries, 58 yards. Sam Darnold, 3 carries, 6 yards. So a total of 64 rushing yards. Not too great on that Vikings offense. Receiving, however, Jefferson, 8 catches, 115 yards, doing what he does best, putting up numbers. Aaron Jones also had 2 catches for 37 yards, and the 2 receiving touchdowns from Sam Darnold were caught by Josh Oliver and Trent Sherfield Sr. The one pick from Stafford was caught by Byron Murphy Jr. of the Vikings, and this was a relatively Rams-dominated game throughout. The Vikings did jump out to an early 14-7 lead in the first quarter. However, the Rams, when it going by quarter, got 7, 7, 7, and 9. The Vikings didn't get anything going beyond the first quarter. So that was basically it. A 30-20 final. The Rams move up to 3-4. The Vikings fall to 5-2. Game 2 time now. Pack and Jags. This was a very interesting one. Jordan Love went down pretty middle of the game. He did go down, is considered week to week, not day to day in the NFL. So Love, 14 for 22, 196 yards and a pick. Malik Willis did come in, 4 for 5, 56 yards and 1 touchdown through the air. That one touchdown was caught by tight end Tucker Kraft, who had a really solid game, 3 catches, 78 yards and the touchdown. No one on the Packers offense, however, had more than 4 catches. Romeo Doubs had 3 for 72, Reed 2 for 55, and Watson 4 for 39. And that was pretty much it. The Packers still won this game 30-27, despite not having much of a passing offense. That's due to Josh Jacobs, 25 carries, 127 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. Jaguars did not play their best game of the season, as they have not been for multiple games. They are 2-6 now. Trevor Lawrence, 21 for 32, 308 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. So Brian Thomas had another really solid game. The rookie is balling so far, 3 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. However, he did go down with an injury late in this game and will be out for week 9. The future we will see about beyond week 9. But for next week, just know Brian Thomas is more than likely to be out. Brenton Strange had 5 catches for 59 yards. The other touchdown went to Evan Engram, who had 4 for 36. But that was relatively it for the offense. Jaguars just couldn't get enough going. Lawrence did have a rushing touchdown as well. But again, 30-27, Packers win. Packers advance to 6-2 in this absolutely loaded NFC North division. And when I say loaded, I absolutely mean it. Lions are 6-1. The Packers are 6-2. The Vikings are 5-2. And the Bears are 4-3. Every single team has a winning record and has a pretty solid point differential. They're all around 30-50, except for Detroit, who's up by exactly 100 points on their opponents throughout the year. But we'll be heading on to the third game right now. We got Arizona and Miami. This was a close one through and through as Tua Tagovailoa made his return for Miami, actually got a standing ovation for sliding and not trying to take a hit when rushing. So that was pretty fun. But Tua, 28 for 38, 234 yards, one passing touchdown, and no picks. The other two touchdowns in this game were scored by Raheem Mostert on the ground. He had 9 carries for 19 yards and both tutties. Achane had 10 carries, 97 yards, no touchdowns to his name. Receiving, Tyreek Hill, 6 for 72. Achane, 6 receptions, 50 yards, but he got a receiving touchdown, which is pretty cool for the halfback. Jalen Waddle, 4 for 45. That was really it from this Miami offense. Kept it neck and neck. However, Chad Ryland of the Arizona Cardinals nailed a game-winning field goal in the fourth quarter. Arizona wins it 28-27. Kyler Murray beats the Call of Duty allegations, going 26 for 36, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks. It's been known that Kyler Murray plays awful whenever a new Call of Duty game is either announced or released. However, he defeated those allegations in this game, taking the win. James Conner, 20 carries, 53 yards, 1 touchdown on the ground. Both receiving touchdowns. One was caught by Marvin Harrison Jr., the other by Michael Wilson. Trey McBride had a great game as well. 9 catches, 124 yards on National Tight End Day. We will talk a lot about tight ends this week, as it was the most receptions in a week by tight ends in NFL history, as well as 16 total touchdowns for the position. So that'll be a common theme as we progress in this episode. But Harrison had 6 catches, 111 yards, and the touchdown. Wilson, 5 for 31 and the touchdown. So Arizona barely sneaks this one out, 28-27 over the 2-5 Miami Dolphins. Arizona will move up to 4-4. Then we had a battle of the awful teams. We had the Jets versus the Patriots. This was a snooze fest. Aaron Rodgers, 17 for 28, 233 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Garrett Wilson had a solid game once again, 5 catches, 113 yards. Devontae Adams, 4 for 54, and one touchdown was caught by tight end Tyler Conklin. So add another tight end to the touchdown board, 3 for 42 in the tutty. And the other touchdown was caught by Xavier Gibson, who had 1 for 1 with the tutty. So pretty impressive there from Gibson. But the Patriots do take this one 25-22. Drake May got concussed early in the game, only went 3 for 6 with 23 yards. Jacoby Brissett had to come in, 15 for 24, 132 yards. This was a horrendous passing game. I'm not even going to go over it. Nobody got past 50 yards receiving, so we won't even touch on it. However, Ramondre Stevenson, 20 carries, 48 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Drake May also had 3 carries for 46 yards and a rushing touchdown. So 3 rushing tutties was enough to push the Patriots over the top over the New York Jets, who have been nothing but a disappointment this season. Then we move on to a huge game, a game that nobody expected, Cleveland and Baltimore. Cleveland wins this one 29-24. It's magical what happens when you don't have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback anymore. And screw it, why not throw in Jameis Winston? 27 for 41, 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Are you kidding me? This dude hadn't started a game since 2022. Comes in, throws over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. The dude was on fire. He just came in, did his job, and left, beating Lamar Jackson, who's probably a front runner for MVP. Just a great game overall. Cedric Tillman absolutely balled. 7 catches, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns. The other receiving touchdown was caught by David Njoku. 5 catches, 61 yards. Judy also had 5 for 79. Elijah Moore, 8 for 85. So a great passing game for Cleveland, which is something you never see with Watson at QB. So who knows? Can Winston turn this 2-6 Browns team around and maybe make a playoff push? I do not think it's even possible. But if anyone's going to do it, why not 2024 Jameis Winston? Baltimore, however, did not play a bad game. Lamar, 23 for 38, 289 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Lamar also had 8 carries for 46 yards. Henry had 11 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown. Relatively silent for King Henry. Usually you see him doing all these crazy things. This was more of a mediocre game by his standards. So that was enough to give Cleveland the win. as Baltimore just wasn't able to produce enough to surmount that insane Cleveland defense. Even while losing Denzel Ward and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah mid-game. So two huge losses for that Browns defense. We'll see how it bites them later. But receiving, Zay Flowers, 7 catches, 115 yards. Both receiving touchdowns from Lamar. One was caught by Mark Andrews, who's been resurging very, very hard. 5 receptions, 36 yards in the touchdown. The other was caught by Eagles legend Nelson Aguilar. 3 catches, 36 yards, and that receiving touchdown. Defensively, a pretty solid game from Baltimore, however. Kyle Hamilton had a sack, but they just weren't able to stop Winston. I mean, it's crazy because I started the Baltimore defense with full confidence this week. They go out and drop a goose egg, getting burned by Cedric Tillman. So the pass rush, they relatively did their job, but the secondary just couldn't hold up at all. So Cleveland takes this one, 29-24. Cleveland goes up to 2-6. Baltimore falls to 5-3 this season. I still have faith in Baltimore. This game does not shake that. Then we get to Philly and Cincinnati. This looked like it was going to be Cincinnati's game from the first drive. Joe Burrow, I believe, went 11 for 12, and Ja'Marr Chase had 15 fantasy points on the first drive. So I came into this game thinking, wow, Cincinnati's going to go crazy. However, that was the only thing Burrow did the entire game. The Eagles win this one, 37-17. Burrow, 26 for 37, 234 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 pick. The touchdown was thrown to Ja'Marr Chase in that first drive, like I said. Gesicki also put up some nice numbers, again, on National Tight End Day. 7 catches, 73 yards. Chase, besides the touchdown, had 9 for 54. That was it. Not much drive from this Cincinnati offense. Chase Brown had 12 carries, 32 yards, and a rushing touchdown. But again, that was really it. The first drive was all the Bengals got going. Jalen Hurts, however, turned on the Jets, and I hate him for this, but he took so much from Saquon Barkley. I still won my fantasy matchup. However, I would have loved to see Saquon go ballistic. Hurts, 16 for 20, 236 yards, 1 touchdown, and no picks. However, on the ground, Hurts, 10 carries, 37 yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns. We'll get to Hurts' fantasy score later on in the episode. But just a great game from Jalen overall. Saquon still didn't do bad. 22 for 108, as well as 1 catch for 3 yards. The only game this season where Saquon did not eclipse 2 catches. I'm sorry, Caden, that bet was rough. But just a pretty solid game from this Eagles offense, specifically Jalen Hurts, just being able to get the ball so close to the end zone and just run it in over and over. The one receiving touchdown was caught by Devonta Smith, 6 for 85, and the tutty, A.J. Brown, went 5 for 84. So that was it from Philadelphia and Cincinnati. The one pick of Joe Burrow was caught by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, a guy who's been relatively silent this year after being one of the best defensive backs in the league a few years ago, but looking for a resurgence back with the team he played for in that season. Heading over to Texans and Colts. The Texans take this one 23-20. Houston advances to 6-2. Colts fall to 4-4. Anthony Richardson, what are you doing, my man? 10 for 32 for 175 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. And not only that, he took himself out of the game because, quote, he was tired. Like, are you kidding me? This guy was taken early in the first round as a developmental project. He was not a safe pick. He was a project pick. And he has the audacity, after only having one good game this entire season, to be like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to take myself out of the game. Absolute disaster. I'm sitting him on my bench because I can't start him because he sucks, but I don't want to drop him because the potential's still there. So I'm sitting with 3 quarterbacks on my roster just because this dude can't get his stuff together. I am losing my patience with you, Anthony Richardson. Get your game together and figure stuff out, all right? Great. Anyway, after that tirade, Jonathan Taylor on the ground, 20 carries, 105 yards, 1 rushing touchdown. And in the passing game, Josh Downs, 4 catches, 109 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Other than that, no one had more than 1 catch. Downs had 4, Pittman had 1, Sermon had 1, Taylor had 1, Pierce had 1, Mitchell had 1. Just shows how disastrous of a passing game this was for this Colts offense. And somehow, Houston only won it by 3. I don't know how. CJ Stroud has been really choking recently. 25 for 37, 285 yards, one touchdown, no picks. His numbers have been decreasing and decreasing since last year, which I don't know how, because his weapons are getting better and better. Joe Mixon did Joe Mixon things on the ground. 25 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown rushing. However, a big hit for Houston. Stephon Diggs did leave the game pretty late. He registered 5 catches for 81 yards, but it does not look pretty. I do not know what it is quite yet, but it would not surprise me if it is ACL. His knee did not look correct on the play, so I'm scared. Prayers up for Stephon Diggs. We'll hope he can recover safely. However, Dalton Schultz, 4 for 52, and the passing touchdown for Stroud was caught by Tank Dell, 4 for 35. And the pickoff of Mr. Richardson was caught by Jalen Petrie, the safety, who I love his game. I love Petrie's game. I think he's one of the best young safeties in this league. And Kiami Fairbairn did what he does best, kicking the ball. 3 for 3, 11 points there overall, including the 2 touchdowns. So a great game there from Fairbairn, but not so great of a game for Houston, but they still take the win 23-20. Now we get to a game which was insane. Detroit beat Tennessee 52-14. And this is not the first week they've done this. Last week they beat Dallas. Not last week, 2 weeks ago. They beat Dallas 47-9 and started running plays with their offensive linemen. Well, guess what? They brought more trick plays out in this game. When you look at their passing leaders, you got Jared Goff, 12 for 15, 85 yards, 3 passing touchdowns. You got Hendon Hooker, two completions over 3 attempts for 6 yards. And then you have David Montgomery. Montgomery, 1 for 1, 3 yards and a passing touchdown. They let David Montgomery throw the ball. They were up so much, they didn't care what they did. So they said, hey, David, you want to toss it? And he said, yeah, and threw a touchdown. Just a absolute curb stomp of Tennessee. An absolute disaster for Nashville. However, the rushing game was nothing short of stellar. Jahmyr Gibbs, Sonic, living up to his name. 11 carries, 127 yards, and a touchdown. David Montgomery, 9 for 33, and a rushing touchdown. Knuckles doing his thing as well. But this passing game, Sam Laporta, 6 catches, 48 yards, touchdown. Khalif Raymond, 2 catches, 14 yards, touchdown. Brock Wright, 1 catch, 8 yards, touchdown. Surprisingly, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 2 catches, 7 yards, and a touchdown. So he still got a touchdown despite only having 2 catches for 7 yards. But an unfortunate loss for this Lions offense. This was the first game without wide receiver Jameson Williams due to a performance-enhancing drug suspension. He will be back relatively soon. However, it was not a rough outing for the Lions at all. I mean, they won 52-14. What would it have been? Probably 60-14 if they had him? Yeah, it's not too necessary. However, Kirby Joseph did get the pick, as well as Trevor Nowitzki. I've never actually said his name. Hope I pronounced that correctly. But Mason Rudolph, quarterback of the Titans, 22 for 38, 266 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. Again, not too much to go off of. A rushing touchdown for Rudolph on 4 carries for 29 yards. The passing touchdown was caught by Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And Calvin Ridley had 10 catches for 143 yards. So a great game from the former star, finally starting to get back into his own game. He was incredible with the Falcons. Hopefully he can get back to that with Tennessee, maybe put some life into this team, because the Titans are 1-6 and just got demolished by Detroit. So will anything come out of that team? Who knows? We will see. But now we will be heading over to Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Tampa. Atlanta wins this one. Kirk Cousins does his thing again. Falcons come out on top 31-26. Falcons move up to 5-3. Bucks fall to 4-4. I feel very bad for Baker Mayfield. 37 for 50, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. His leading receiver was Cade Otton, the tight end, 9 for 81 and 2 touchdowns. The other was caught by Rashad White. But losing Chris Godwin and Mike Evans is absolutely brutal for this team, and they won't be back for a long while. So Baker will have to make Cade Otton, Bucky Irving, Rashad White, and Jalen McMillan his targets for quite a while. Pretty scary business if you're a Buck fan. The rushing game never got anything going, but that's how it is when Cade Otton's playing on National Tight Ends Day, because apparently he just turns into some kind of demon. Kirk Cousins on the other side of the ball, 23 for 29, 276 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. Kirk doing Kirko Chains things. Kyle Pitts put his name on the map this week for one of the first times in his career. Four catches, 91 yards, two touchdowns. The other two were caught by Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson. Mooney, 4 for 86. Robinson, 7 for 43. Drake London was shut down this game, 4 for 34. So if you started Drake London in fantasy, I feel sorry for you. The rushing game, quite a bit of yardage, no scores. We're not going to cover it. Those two Baker picks were caught by AJ Terrell and Jesse Bates. In my opinion, the two best defenders on this Falcons defense. I've always thought Jesse Bates was such an underrated safety. I even would go as far as to say he's one of, if not the best safety in the league. I think he's absolutely incredible, showing it this week with that pick of Mayfield. Falcons do come out on top in that one, 31-26. Now we're heading over to the crapshoot of a game, Chargers and Saints. Wouldn't you guess it? Spencer Rattler was benched for Jake Haener. Spencer Rattler, 12 for 24, 156 yards. Then Haener came in and did the same thing, 9 for 17, 122. Is anyone going to quarterback the Saints team? Well, who knows? Carr is practicing again, so I guess it's good news. I couldn't tell you, though, because even Carr wasn't playing well after game two. Saints have lost six consecutive after winning their first two games, 47-10 and 44-19. Dropping 12, 24, 13, 27, 10, and 8 in the following six and losing all six of those games. So the disaster class of this New Orleans team continues. Alvin Kamara, 10 carries, 67 yards, six catches, 55 yards. So again, not a bad game for Kamara, but not too great. No scores. No scores at all for this Saints offense, actually. It was a disaster. And funny enough, Blake Groupe had 6 points. So you're probably wondering, where did the other 2 points come from? Now, the answer for that is a safety. Yeah, they had a safety, but no touchdown. Good job, New Orleans. Proud of you guys. Anyway, horrific game for New Orleans. Chargers did actually really well in this game. Herbert, 20 for 32, 279 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. J.K. Dobbins had 17 for 57 for one touchdown on the ground. Both touchdowns were caught by Ladd McConkey, who had six catches for 111 yards and the two tutties. I dropped him in fantasy, and I'm regretting it more and more every day. The dude's clearly becoming the wide receiver one in this Chargers offense, and it's terrifying to see, especially when I drop him. But Chargers take this one. Not too much to say about it. 26-8. Chargers go up to 4-3. Saints fall to 2-6. Moving on to Buffalo and Seattle. Josh Allen wins this one 31-10. Allen, 24 for 34, 283 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. The one touchdown was caught by Dalton Kincaid, adding to the tight end day name. Knox also added 2 for 50. Keon Coleman had 5 for 70 and a touchdown, and Khalil Shakir, 9 for 107. And the rushing game wasn't shut down either. James Cook, 17 carries, 111 yards, two rushing touchdowns. So firing on all cylinders for this Bills offense, and they were able to shut down that Seattle offense as well. Geno Smith, 21 for 29, 212 yards, one interception. The one touchdown was rushed by Zach Charbonnet, who had 3 for 4. Kenny Walker held to 9 carries for 12 yards. Absolute disaster class from this Seahawks offense. We will see Geno Smith's name pop up in a bit, but Buffalo wins 31-10. We don't need to harp on that much longer. Then we get to arguably the game of the year. Washington, Chicago, the number one pick versus the number two pick. Caleb, Jalen, Williams, Daniels. Sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Unfortunately, it was a pretty awful game until the fourth quarter. Chicago scored one touchdown in the third. That was all for the first three quarters. Washington went 6-3-3. But this fourth quarter was insane. Caleb Williams had a disaster of a game. 10 for 24, 131 yards. He had 10 completions and 130 yards. I mean, what are you going to do with that? No receivers really did anything logically due to such an awful performance, but the rushing game was on point. Swift, 18 for 129 and a touchdown. And we will get to Roschon Johnson's touchdown in a minute on the ground. But Chicago scores with Roschon Johnson with, I believe, around 25 seconds left to play in the game to go up 15 to 12. Now, Washington gets the ball. They run a quick route with Terry McLaurin with only a couple seconds left. Jaden Daniels in the pocket sits there for a ton of seconds, airs it out. It's tipped off the hands of Tyreek Stevenson, the cornerback for the Bears, and caught in the back of the end zone by a wide-open Noah Brown, sealing the game. Washington wins 18-15 on a Hail Mary, Aaron Rodgers-esque. Aaron Rodgers haunting the Bears even while he's playing for the Jets. Just a disaster of a final play. Tyreek Stevenson had to come out after the game and apologize to his teammates, the media, the fans. He had to apologize to everybody due to that disaster of a play where he was mocking fans and then proceeded to tip it right into the hands of Noah Brown to win the game for Washington. Jaden Daniels had a pretty solid game, 21 for 38, 326 yards in that one Hail Mary touchdown, funny enough. And that was it really for offensive production. McLaurin had 5 for 125, Ertz 7 for 77, and Noah Brown had the touchdown. That's what it was looking like for the Commanders in this one. Austin Siebert is the number one kicker in fantasy this year. You cannot tell me otherwise. He did miss a kick, but he was 4 for 5, 12 total points for Siebert. I mean, he's been a waiver wire pickup lifesaver for me. And clearly in this game, he was huge, scoring 12 out of the 18 points. Washington moves to 6-2, 18-15 over the 4-3 Bears. Moving on to Chiefs Raiders. I have no idea how the Chiefs are 7-0. KC takes it 27-20. Patrick Mahomes still has more interceptions than passing touchdowns. He went 27 for 38, 262 yards, two touchdowns to one pick. This was the Kelce game that he needed after a while. 10 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown, adding to the tight end day legacy. Xavier Worthy, 4 for 37 and a touchdown through the air. Hopkins held relatively quiet in his Chiefs debut, 2 for 29 in the air. Kareem Hunt was 21 for 59 on the ground with a touchdown, and that was enough to win it. I mean, this Raiders offense is an absolute disaster, despite Gardner Minshew going 24 for 30, 209 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. The reason? They had no rushing game. 15 from Madison, 7 from Tucker, 6 from Minshew, 4 from Turner, 2 from Abdullah, and -1 from Zamir White, who was drafted pretty solidly in fantasy drafts this year, has been a huge disappointment in every way, shape, and form. But a total of under 40 rushing yards for this Raiders offense was enough to shut them down against KC. Brock Bowers, 5 catches, 58 yards. Jacoby Myers taking the wide receiver one role, 6 for 52 and a touchdown. The other touchdown was caught by DJ Turner. Trayvon Moehrig caught the pick from Patrick Mahomes, but yet again, the Chiefs take it out. 7-0 for KC, 27-20 over the 2-6 Vegas Raiders. This was the game Bo Nix had been waiting for. 28-14, Broncos beat the Panthers logically. Denver's 5-3, Carolina's 1-7, but Bo Nix took this game by storm. 28 for 37, 284 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, as well as 5 carries for 4 yards and a rushing touchdown on the ground for the rookie quarterback. This is the guy Sean Payton wanted, and this is the guy Sean Payton got. 4 total touchdowns for Bo Nix in this one. Just a great showing once again. Cortland Sutton, 8 for 100. Adam Trautman, 4 for 85 and a touchdown. Once again, adding to the tight end day festivities, we'll go with. But Denver just drops nukes on Carolina, as everyone has throughout the year. The other touchdowns were caught by Jaleel McLaughlin and Nate Adkins. Don't know if you've ever heard of him, but guess what? Another tight end. One catch, 3 yards, and the tutty. But Carolina just can't get anything going. Bryce Young, 24 for 37, 224 yards, two touchdowns, two picks. One was caught by Jalen Coker, a guy who I've never heard of to this day. And he had 4 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. So, you know, congrats, man. Great job. The other receiving touchdown was from Xavier Leggett, a guy who was picked pretty high and has been slowly living up to the hype in the first round. I believe he was the last pick of the first round. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I believe. No rushing game for Carolina, but they weren't winning this one anyway. 28-14, Denver moves up to 5-3. Now we're on to our final game, Sunday Night Football, San Fran, Dallas. Brock Purdy, 18 for 26, 260 yards, one touchdown, and no picks. So not an incredible offensive game, but he did something that has never been done before in NFL history. I believe he was the first player to have an 100% completion percentage over some amount of yardage. I think it was around 150 passing yards. No, probably around 100 passing yards and 30 rushing yards in a quarter. I think that's what it was. First player ever to do all three of them in one quarter. I could be wrong on that. That's what I think off the top of my head. But George Kittle, the man who invented National Tight End Day, balled on National Tight End Day. Six catches, 128 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Absolutely saving my fantasy week and starting Caleb Williams. Thank you, George Kittle. I appreciate it, man. But another great game was Isaac Guerriendo, a guy who is the halfback three at the beginning of the year for this Niners team. As Jordan Mason went down early in the game with, I believe, a shoulder injury, he was 6 for 18. But Guerriendo came in 14 for 85 and a touchdown on the ground. Purdy also had a touchdown on the ground. So San Fran takes this one 30-24 as Dak has two touchdowns and two picks, one caught by Lenoir and one caught by Jair Brown. Dak also had 25 for 38, 243 yards in addition to the two touchdowns and two picks. Zeke had a rushing touchdown, 10 carries, 34 yards in the touchdown. And this was CeeDee Lamb's breakout. 13 catches, 146 yards, two touchdowns. Other than that, no passing offense at all. But San Fran comes out on top. Now they're 4-4, which is something you never thought you would say for San Fran entering the year. But they beat the now 3-4 Dallas Cowboys 30-24. Monday Night Football is starting in around 15 minutes here. Giants, Steelers, if I were to give you my prediction, I would say Pittsburgh wins this one. I will go with 31-17. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a good game for Mr. Tyrone Tracy. He's been balling for the last few, and I love him. I saw him coming out of college and knew he was going to be a guy that could come up and ball. And he's been doing that these last few games. Incredible to see. But now we will move on to our new and improved fantasy segment sponsored by CadeStarters.com. To get all your great fantasy and sports betting information, go check out CadeStarters.com. The link will be in the description. But a huge game for some of these guys who you may have not thought of. Let's start off with Bo Nix. As I said, 28 for 37, 284 passing yards, three touchdowns, no picks, as well as a rushing touchdown, dropping 29.76 points. Just an impressive performance from Bo Nix, a guy who many labeled as a bust early in the year, who's really been taking that to heart and putting up numbers these last few games. Ladd McConkey came in as the number four best player this week, 29.1 fantasy points, tied with Mr. Cade Otton, who we'll talk about next. McConkey, 6 for 111, two receiving touchdowns. Otton, 9 for 81, two receiving touchdowns. Again, both with 29.1. And then Cedric Tillman comes in at 6. He had 7 for 99, two touchdowns, came in at 28.9 fantasy points. Some other notable guys in the top echelon: Josh Jacobs, Kyle Pitts, Matthew Stafford. Jameis Winston also came in pretty solid at 23.56. Stevenson at 23.5 for New England. But now we will introduce the fantasy busts of the week. Who did disastrous? And let's start off with Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith. 8.1 fantasy points. For the first time this season, Smith did not score a touchdown in this game. Threw a pick, took a sack, and that was it. No production at all from Geno Smith, a guy who's been consistently incredible this season, especially in fantasy. Just a huge, rough week for Geno. Same with Caleb Williams. After a huge week last week, this week did nothing. 8.3 fantasy points. He couldn't get anything going at all. Only 10 completions and just failed to be a leader. And I was so happy the Bears lost that game. Caleb did not deserve that win in the slightest. Now, some running back tanks, Nick Chubb and Kenneth Walker, both doing absolutely nothing, both under 10 fantasy points, both easily starting halfbacks in fantasy, just rough. And a lot of rough receivers, too. Drake London, Amari Cooper, Michael Pittman, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, as well as DJ Moore, Jordan Addison, Tyler Lockett, and Rashad Bateman, all scoring under 10 fantasy points, just doing nothing when a lot of guys had high hopes for them in this week, especially Amon-Ra, Drake London, and Amari Cooper, the newly acquired Buffalo Bill. So just a rough game overall from a ton of big receivers that people are starting all over fantasy. And despite it being National Tight End Day, not every tight end had success. For instance, Cole Kmet, a guy who's dropped nukes at least a few times this year, was targeted once. That's it. One target for Cole Kmet. Just a rough game overall for one of the best tight ends in fantasy this year. Everyone else, though, did pretty solid in this week for tight ends. National Tight End Day is real. The most successful week for NFL tight ends in NFL history is week 8 of the 2024 NFL season. So CadeStarters.com will be our fantasy sponsor for the rest of the season, as well as following the season with MLB, NBA, and all other sports. So again, thank you, CadeStarters.com, for covering this podcast. And now, I would like to thank you guys for listening to this episode of NFL Recap for week 8 of the 2024-2025 NFL season. Have a great rest of your day or night. We hope to see you for the next episode.